to the book of Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 is where we invite you to turn to. We're going to look at a couple of verses that are really our focus verses for this morning. After that, we'll be going back and kind of setting the context, but I want to begin with that which is going to be our focus. We're in Acts 23. Go to verses 10 and 11 as we begin our time. We're in Acts 23 and our journey through the early years of the new church. Acts 23, verse 10. Now, when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." I have a couple of rhetorical questions for you to begin our time. By rhetorical, I mean they're not to be answered out loud, but certainly to be considered. It's to kind of spur us on that we might be prepared to hear what God would say to us in this time. And so I want to begin by simply asking you, have you ever had things not go the way you thought they would? You planned, you prayed, you hoped, and it was a good plan, and it was a good thing. But things just didn't go the way you thought they would. Indeed, they totally unraveled, perhaps. So I'm asking, have you ever been there? You ever had something go the way you didn't want it to? The way you didn't think it would? If you ever had that happen, know this. Paul knows just how you feel. As we're going to see in a few moments, that is probably how Paul felt as he sat in that cell that night. But I want us to listen to what Jesus says to him. It's in verse 11. It says, "The Lord came and stood by Paul and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you've testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" In the midst of things collapsing and going totally different than you thought or planned, and the devastation that can occur, and the hurt that can occur, and the confusion, and the totally dazed feeling, the Lord would want to speak something, not just to Paul, but to us this morning. For this is such an awesome word. What a great promise this is for Paul. As a great reminder for every believer, I've called our time together this morning, "The Lord stood by him." Let's pray. Father, I know I sure need to hear this. I suspect many here do too. And so, Lord, would you help us, Lord? We can be a distracted people. And we can think that we know so much, and yet, Lord, for many of us, we do sit here with things having gone very different than we'd wished and planned and thought. So, Lord, would you speak to hearts this morning and encourage and heal, and let there be that work that only you can do. Oh, how we need your grace. But you offer it. Help us be receivers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remind ourselves of the context this morning. As we join Paul here in Acts chapter 23, he has gone up to Jerusalem. You'll remember that a number of chapters ago we saw that Paul had on his heart. He wanted to make sure and get to Jerusalem by the Feast of Pentecost. If you go back for a moment, I invite you to do so. Go back to chapter 21 for just a moment. In chapter 21, we see this. Paul has indeed arrived at Jerusalem. He goes up to the temple. And while he's up there in the temple, some of the Jews from Asia, remember Paul has been out preaching in Asia, but many people do come down for these types of festivals and all. So while Paul is there, it says that some of the Jews from Asia, they see Paul there, and they begin to stir up the people against Paul. Indeed, it says they drag him out of the temple, they take him and they begin to beat him up. It is such a response. So much is going on here that the Roman commander becomes aware of it, and he rushes with a bunch of his troops down there, and he has to rescue Paul from the people at that point. They begin to take Paul back to their barracks. The barracks in those days, it was known as the Antonio Fortress. It was right next to the Temple Mount. There were some stairs that led their way up there. So they just had to rescue Paul from the people who were out there. They wanted to kill him. He rescues them. He's taking Paul up these stairs. As they're going up the stairs, Paul turns to the commander and he has something to ask him. We're in chapter 21, look at verse 37. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" But Paul said, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying. Picture the moment, if you would. From the steps going up, he could look across a large area of the Temple Mount. He could see all these people. Now remember, Paul, as we're going to see in a moment, he has a great, great heart for his people, the Jewish people. And for a long time, he'd wanted to share with them. And all of a sudden, he's going up the stairs, and he looks, and he sees this multitude of people who are all watching. They're yelling at him at the beginning of this. But he sees this is an opportunity. And so he asks, "May I have permission to speak?" And the commander says, "Well, go ahead." So Paul raises his hand, and he asks everybody to be quiet. The time has come. The time that he's been desiring for all these years, the time has come now. He's going to be able to share with his people the good news. Surely God would bless this. God loves all, and he loves them. And he has indeed good news. Surely God is going to bless it. Well, we go into chapter 2 where Paul begins to indeed make his defense. He begins to share with the people, and they're giving him attention from the top there. They're looking up at him on the stairs there. And it takes the form of he begins to share his testimony, how God got hold of Paul on the Damascus Road and totally turned him around, that he encountered Jesus and it changed everything for him. And he goes on to explain that. He explains the response. I mean, really, his argument is, "Hey, guys, considering what God did, how could I not receive? How could I not give the Lord my life?" And he shares the calling for his life. And so he's rolling along, doing okay. They're listening to him. But then he gets to a point when it all really goes south on him. Go to verse 21. He's been sharing his testimony. They've been listening. He's sharing the commission that God has given to Paul. Verse 21. "Then he said to me," now he's describing that Jesus said this to Paul. "Then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" Uh-oh. Watch. "And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.' Then as they cried out and tore their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him." Definitely not how Paul had wanted it to go. It's interesting. He'd been sharing all these things and they were listening until he said one word. He got to one word and he says, "And the Lord has told me to go to the Gentiles." The Jews would not listen to that for a heartbeat. "Are you trying to tell me that God loves the Gentiles too?" Yeah. "That they can know the Lord too?" Yeah. "That they can come to him directly? They don't have to become a Jew first. They can go straight to him?" Yes, God loves all. When he mentions the Gentiles, it says it's at that word when the fur starts to fly. I mean, they're ripping their clothes. That's their way of showing this. Oh, and they're throwing the dust and they're saying, "This guy should die for saying such a thing." The commander has to jump in again and rescue him from the people. Well, down in verse 30, just trying to kind of summarize things, It tells us that by this point that the commander still, the commander apparently is a good guy. I mean, a reasonable guy. He wants to know, what is Paul saying that the people are so upset about? So verse 30, the next day, because he, that's the commander, wanted to know for certain why he, Paul, was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. That brings us to our focus for this morning. The commander is saying, look, I got to find out what the accusations are. Why do they want to kill this guy? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Paul, let's take you out of your chains. Let's have you meet with the religious leaders. I need to find out what their beef is. Why this strong reaction against you? But think about it. Paul here now has the opportunity to go before the Sanhedrin. That's the council of the religious leaders of the land. They know him. He's a Pharisee. At one time, they had commissioned him to go out and persecute the church, Christians. Surely they're going to understand. Surely this will go well. Okay, this is my chance. The leadership, win them, I can win so many. I mean, all right, a second chance. A second chance to share with the leadership. Let's read how it goes. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He's just getting rolling. He's going to share with them. That's the first thing out of his mouth. They don't like it. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to them, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" So already, it's not going too good, but he presses on. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now watch. Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. Man, this guy needs rescuing a lot. The commander goes, "What's going on? Every time I let this guy talk or bring him out, they're after him." And he's had to rescue him a number of times. So they rescue him once again and drags him in and puts him in the barracks. And we saw from the chains idea, it puts him in the cell, is the idea. So now Paul sits there. What must it have been like for him to sit there in that barrack, in that cell? Paul had wanted to share with his fellow Jews for so long. It was on his heart so strongly to share the good news with them. He had such a burden for them. Paul writes in Romans, "I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." Think of that statement. He loved his fellow Jews so much. He grieved that they didn't really know. It is by the law that thought you could earn righteousness. They didn't understand the free gift that Jesus had purchased for them and all. And he has sorrow. He even says, "I would give up my place. I'd be willing to be forsaken forever if they would..." Now think about that. Would we be willing to spend eternity in hell for someone else? But he goes, "I'd be willing to be forsaken if somehow my brother could come." I put that up to show you. This is no light thing when he gets to finally share with them. He had planned and prayed and wanted this. And it's a good thing, you would think. This is, it's got to go well. It's a good news. Surely they'll respond. Think what it went like instead. Think how he felt as he sat there in the cell that night. He had had two attempts to share with them, and they had gone so poorly. It seemingly had gone so poorly. How might he have felt? I want to think about that. Perhaps he's sad, wondering what's going to happen next. Maybe he sat there with head in hand. Maybe there were tears streaming down his face. Lord, did I blow it? Did I do something wrong? This seemed like it was so good. This was a good plan, Lord. And you know, I prayed for this a long time, Lord. And I this is a good. I thought it was a good thing, and now it's all gone south. Think how I might have been feeling sitting there. And what's going to happen to me next? I'm even usable? Maybe did I cause any of that? Did I say something wrong? There's so many things that could be flooding his heart, his thoughts. I want us to sit down with Paul in his cell for a little bit this morning. I want us to think about if any of this might apply to us and what we're going to do about it. This is a message for anybody whose things haven't gone the way you thought they would. First, think of the direct application. Perhaps there has been, or there is, someone that you've shared God's love with, but they just wouldn't receive it. Perhaps you were sure if you could just explain God's love and the truth and the hope and the life that's in Jesus to them, certainly they'd receive, but they didn't. They were closed. They responded very poorly to it. And you look back and you feel like, gosh, you maybe feel like you just didn't say it right. Why did I use that example? Why did I put it that way? Oh, if I could just have another chance. I mean, you feel like the whole discussion didn't convey your heart. You meant well, but it just got all goofed up. Or maybe in your case, it wasn't an issue of salvation that you were sharing with someone or on your heart to talk with them. Maybe it was an issue of concern, just something that concerned you for them. You were concerned for them about this particular issue. Maybe not salvation. Maybe you were just concerned with the direction they were going in, the choices they've been making, the things they've been getting into lately, and you can see it's not going to get them anywhere good. This can be a conversation between a parent and a child, a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a co-worker. It could be so many places this can come up. But you see decisions being made and directions being taken, and you're so concerned, and you sat down to try to talk to them about it, but it just got all wrong. They reacted so negative, and maybe you got in a fight with them. There was disagreements. Feelings were expressed, and things just got all goofed up. Maybe it isn't that way. Maybe there's just become a distance because of your expression. You expressed it to them, and now there's a coldness. There's a distance. They avoid you now. Maybe you've gone to try to talk it out with them, but again, it's just, you can tell there's just a wall up now. What's the saying? It's saying that perhaps things went away that you didn't want them to. You didn't plan them to go that way. It started out the way you hoped it would go. But I want us to go even further now with the application. Maybe you relate to Paul in terms of the way some things have gone for you in terms of some circumstances, be they in the past, fairly recent, right now, maybe right in the middle of them. What I'm saying is, as far as you can see, you look at your circumstances, you look at what has happened, you look at what's brought you to this point, and all you can say is, man, that sure hasn't gone the way I thought it would. It sure hasn't gone the way that I prayed it would. And I think 9 out of 10 people would say my way was a good way. it made sense and it was going to be a good thing and it's what it should have been. But now it's all upside down. And you sit here devastated and you're confused, you're dazed by it all. And sometimes, not this may not be you, but for some of us, sometimes we also can get to the point where we start saying, and maybe I caused that. Maybe I did choose the wrong words. Maybe I failed in some way. Lord, did I add to that whole reaction? It went so bad. And this isn't how things were supposed to go. But did I add to it? Was I supposed to do something different? And maybe it leaves you wondering, now what? Where do I go with all this? I seem to have no say-so in changing it. I feel like there's nothing I can do to change this. Where do you go from here? Excuse me. I realize we can't say for sure what Paul was feeling. The text doesn't tell us directly what Paul was feeling. But I think we can have a pretty good idea. First of all, we get an idea of what he was feeling by simply doing what we have been doing, and that is kind of putting ourselves in his sandals. Most of us know what it's like to plan something, pray for something, think it was going to go a certain way, and have it go totally the opposite, totally go south, totally come apart on us. So we can relate to Paul in that way. We have a pretty good sense of probably what he was going through. But we're not limited to just doing that, to trying to relate to it from our point of view. For we can get an idea of how Paul felt by the things that Jesus now says to him. The Lord doesn't speak just off the cuff, but rather the Lord speaks to needs and hearts, and he wants to speak to us this morning. In that dazed, confused, hurting, lost, struggling place that we might be in. What we're about to read is, or shows us, that the Lord speaks directly to our needs. He's going to speak to the attitude, the mind and heart that's in Paul, and hopefully to all of us. Verse 11, Acts 23. But the following night, the Lord stood by him. Let's pause there. It's a wonderful, awesome thing that if you've asked Jesus into your life, he took you up on it. And let's never take for granted, never get used to God's presence in our lives. For the first thing we're reminded of here is the Lord was right there with Paul in the cell. In his devastation, in his sense of how could it have gone that way? I don't understand how things went this way. What we see is the Lord doesn't say, I'm out of here. Instead, he's right there with him. Whatever we might encounter, whatever we might go through, however we might fail, however circumstances turn out, that loss, that way that you never would have picked and it hurts so much, know this, Jesus always is with his children. Always. Now, I know we don't understand sometimes. We don't sense him. But the fact is, he's always right there with us. And that's what we begin with here. The Lord stood by him. Well-known verses for good reason. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I just highlight these verses because of that statement. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But Lord, it went so poorly. I know. But Lord, it hurt so much. I know. But Lord, I goofed up. I know. But I will never leave you or forsake you. And not for the purpose of smashing us, but as we're going to see, to comfort and encourage us. It took us by surprise, but nothing ever takes him by surprise. And he wants us to know some things in all this. But we begin with that truth. He is right there. Think what the continual presence of the Lord in our lives means to us in the midst of all we go through. Jesus told his disciples, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded to you. And I'll see you at the end of your life if you make it. Hopefully a few are going to look at me like, what? What? Where did you get that one? Is that what it says? I send you out. Hope you make it. No. He says, and lo. That's an old-time way of saying, and look. Make sure you know this. And all your journeys. And all your trials. And all those things that went so bad. Just know this. I am with you almost all the time. You're being good students. No, I'm with you always. Now, and again, I know he doesn't feel like it sometimes. But the truth is, he's always there. A commentator made the point that one time as he was speaking on this, he mentioned that fact, that the Lord stood by Paul. And the commentator is pointing out how the Lord promised to be with us. And a woman spoke up and said, young man, that's not a promise, that's a fact. And that's a way of saying, we think a promise is like, well, I hope it's a sure thing. He is with every believer in all that we go through to steady and strengthen and guide us. There doesn't have to be a moment in time when we cannot experience his presence. And what a difference that makes in these things we face. And he's there to minister to us. He's there to encourage us. He's there reminding us of his love and his plans and his sufficiency. Paul had been miraculously delivered from jail cells before. But this time, the Lord met him in the cell. Now notice that. You see, we often desire that Jesus would deliver us out of our circumstances. And sometimes he does. But oftentimes he wants to meet us in the circumstance. A lot of times the circumstance prepares us for a deeper understanding, connection, relationship. It drives us deeper because of it. In the cell, we connect at a level we never would have outside of it. What I'm saying is he redeems that circumstance. He wants to meet us in it today. And what does the Lord say to Paul? Look at it. Be of good cheer, Paul. What? Be of good cheer? Lord, this is far from fun. Don't think he's saying, be like, oh boy, no problem. No pain, no tears. No. The word translated cheer here in our New King James is a word that means courage. Have courage. It's a word that means courage. What's he saying? He says, be of good cheer. He's saying, have courage, Paul. How am I going to have courage? By looking up. By looking to him. By recognizing what we have in him. That he works all things for good. I don't say all things are good. He works them all for good. That he's working in this thing. And he's got something he's going to redeem from it. And our tears don't push him away. He's not down on us when we're struggling, but he wants us to settle some issues. See, the if onlys and the whys. Why, God? Why did it have to go this way? That can weigh so heavy on us. But the Lord comes and he says, I'm with you. Be of good courage. I know you don't see the answer right now. Trust me. Trust me. Trust that I know what I'm doing. You'll notice here, the Lord doesn't come along and get on Paul's case. Paul, why in the world did you take that tactic? Why did you say that, Paul? Why would you have taken the conversation that way? Why would you go with your testimony? You should have gone with a three-piece theological discussion. No. He doesn't indicate that Paul did anything wrong here. Instead, what's he do? He encourages him. May the Lord encourage you in the midst of whatever it is that you're relating to this right now with. That thing that went so poorly, and you would have wanted to go any other way but the way that it did, and how much you wish you could change it, but he wants you to know. He wants you to be encouraged in it. Not because of it, in it. Thank God for the way he ministers to us and encourages us through it all. And then look at the rest of it. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. What does that speak of? What's that say? See, doesn't that speak of a plan? Just as you've testified of me. Lord, testified for you. I barely got started and they wanted to tear me apart. I had so much I wanted to share. Paul, that's not your response. Their response is their responsibility. Our part is to share. To share the love. To share the good news. You did what you could. You did what they allowed you to do. You testified of me. See, we get so wrapped up in how people respond. That's not our responsibility. Ours is just to represent the Lord and point to the Lord. Well, he says, and as you've testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Now think of what that meant to Paul in all these coming months and years up ahead. The Lord says, I'm going to be in Rome. He's going to do it if he says it. But my point here is, there's a plan. It speaks of a plan. It's a reminder that no matter how things appear, God is always at work. And there is a plan unfolding. And oftentimes, no, we don't get it. And we may not have picked it. And we don't understand it. But he wants to reassure Paul and us in it. And don't miss the last part of that verse. Paul sits there facing a whole different circumstance than he had planned. But Jesus says what? For as you testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So you must also. Basically, what's the Lord saying? Paul, I'm not finished yet. I know you feel like it's finished. I know you feel like you've been dashed upon the rocks. You've been shipwrecked on the rocks and you feel thrashed and destroyed. And you just, man, this hurts big time. And you wonder, is God through with you? How can he ever work in and through or all this that's going on? I don't get it. I don't understand it. So you must also. Paul, there's more for you to do. This morning, things didn't go the way you thought. And you sit here thrashed and hurting. And the Lord will want to reassure you. There's more yet to do. And yes, you're still usable. You're not broken beyond usability. He's not done with you. He's telling Paul, I'm not done with you. Far from it, Paul, far from it. We got a lot more up ahead. This morning, let him speak those words to you. That he's not through with you. There's more yet. It can look hopeless at times. And sure, we don't always understand why he took the road that he did. Why did I take that turn, Lord? But as we see in our text this morning, the Lord wants us to know he has a plan. If we will just trust and follow him. Paul, you're not off track. I know you just feel like you're sitting here in the cell, but you're not off track. It's just going different than you thought it would. And the Lord would speak that to us this morning. Yeah, it went different than we thought. But we can trust God no matter how it goes. And I don't want to make light of what we go through. But just an example. We got in here this morning and the rain took its toll on our fellowship hall roof, on our ceiling. Now, if I rooted my well-being in fellowship hall roofs, I'd have been a mess. Oh, what are we going to do? This is horrible. But not one single person around. I didn't find anybody doing that. Because my hope, our hope is in the Lord, not in a roof, not in a ceiling. Ceilings have things happen. Car tires go flat. You see, when these things happen in our life, they show us what we're looking to be okay. They show us what we're really about. It's how we react to a fellowship hall roof that says if we really mean what we say. Now, that's a light example. But put it upon our circumstances. That thing that went so poorly and it hurt and it's gone so badly and you never, and your way was so, it made sense your way was good. It was a good way. And you plan and prayed or whatever applies to whatever this is speaking to you about. And we can do that. But we weren't to put our hope in that. We can't base who we are on how that's going to go. We have to always look up. And he's going to kind of help us see that and remind us of that. Someday, when we're home, we will say, Lord, righteous and true are all your ways. Point is, rest in the truth of that now. The day's coming. Rest in the truth of it now. It can be hard. It can be hard in these things we're going through. But Jesus is our secure refuge. I'm going to invite the worship team up. But we're not done. There needs to be some application with all of this. The Lord is basically saying to Paul here, what? I am with you in all that's going on. In that pain, in that loss, in the way things have gone. I know it's not what you wanted. I know it's not what you planned. I know you'd change in a heartbeat if you could. But know this, I am with you. Do you need to hear that this morning? He said to Paul, Paul, I have a plan for your life. I'm at work. I know you don't see it right now, but I am at work. Do you need to hear that this morning? The call? Trust him in the midst of it. I wonder how many of us need to hear these things today. Have things gone in a direction that you didn't expect them to? And now you say you're dazed and confused and hurting and you do anything you could to change it? Maybe you're feeling like you did add to it. Maybe you feel like you caused it. You wonder if God can still use you. During this song, I want to invite you to do something if you relate to any of this. I invite you during this time to do one of two things. To either come up to the altar or to stand just where you are. And you'll be standing just between you and the Lord. He knows the circumstance. He knows how you apply to this. But I want to pray for you. I'm praying for myself too at the same time, but I pray that we'll just take a moment and let the Lord speak to us. May the Lord, if you need to hear, I'm with you in that. Be of good courage in it. I'm still at work. I'm not finished. If any of that applies to you during the song, stand, come up front, and then at the end of the song, I want to lift this up in prayer. Let's go for it. Heavenly Father, I pray for myself, and I count it a privilege to be able to pray for everybody who's standing up. And Lord, you know the circumstances that have moved us to this point. Thank you, don't have to rehearse to you the things that have gone on. But we thank you even more that in the midst of it, we have that assurance, you are with us. And Lord, I do count a privilege on behalf of each one who has stood up to now ask, Lord, would you speak those words to every heart? That you stand by us. I am with you. And you call us to have a good courage, not in our strength, not in how it's going, how we think it's going to go, our plans. We give all that to you, Lord. You call us to have to be courageous in you, to let you be our strength and our courage and our rock and our all in all in the midst of it. So I lift each one to you, Lord. Help them to hear that as you speak to them, that you are their strength. Help them to receive the courage to face all that's going on in you, not in ourselves, in you. Lord, I'm just lifting each one to you. And Lord, if someone needs to hear that you're not down on them, you love them, and you want to encourage them and minister to them, then help them to hear that. And Lord, for the one needs to hear that you're not done, you're not finished, speak that word to them, Lord, that there's more. There's more you want to do in and through. So Lord, thank you that you do meet us in these very things we go through, and indeed you use them to drive us deep into you. And we're just thanking you, Lord. We confess we don't get it, don't understand it. Wouldn't have had to go that way if we were doing it. But we know you do all things well. And we know you work all things for good. And we know we can trust you. And so we're just saying, Lord, have it all. Have us. Have these circumstances. Have your way. I lift each one to you, Lord. May they hear your heart speaking to their heart. These awesome words of encouragement in the midst of whatever it is. And to that end, we thank you. And to that end, Lord, we want to give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, as we now all prepare to head out, knowing that you know our tomorrows as well as our yesterdays, Lord, thank you. There's nothing that trips you up. Nothing takes you by surprise. So we can head into our days resting, not because we're in control or it's going like we want, but because you are in control. Lord, I do. I pray just for encouragement for everybody here, Lord. And may the days ahead find us. Find us right there. Rest in your grace, your love, because you're more than enough. Thank you, Lord. And I do. Whatever circumstances are going on, Lord, we give them to you. Help us to leave them there, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's close in song together.